Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Eliza Taylor, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's beunique.org.
Well, hello, everybody. I am your host, Mary Brotherton. This is Unscripted, so you never know what's going to happen anyway. Tonight, I've got my good friend, Gene, here. How are you, Gene?
Hey, Mary. Good. How are you doing?
And you notice I didn't say, how are you, Eugene? I said, how are you, Gene?
How are you, Gene?
Because I know where to put my commas.
There you go. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell everybody that's listening in tonight, if you think Gene and I get into mischief normally, wait till tonight's show starts, because I already know it's going to be a hoot and a holler. I almost said howdy and started into my southern accent, but I decided not to.
Cool name, Pearl going on there.
I like Minnie Pearl's hatch. She was fun. But our guests tonight are Bill Rutowski and Dan Carlock. Both of them are, aside from being my kind of weirdos, Bill is an actor and
producer.
Hey,
I resemble that remark.
You should resemble that, Mark. I tagged you quick, buddy. And Dan... Well, I'm not sure. Dan, are you an actor, producer, what? That wasn't in your bio.
Whatever cashes the paycheck, I could be.
That's perfect.
I'm normally a director cameraman.
Okay.
In my real world.
I am normally none of that. I'm just the mouthpiece and the editor, the governor. I am the Mary. But, folks, the name Bill Rutowski may not be familiar, although he's known for things you're probably familiar with. The Last Request, Fred and Vinny, and what about Arrested Development? I know everybody's heard about that. And Dan is known for his work in Sleep at the Wheel, Making a Ride with Bob. I remember that. Law and Order. Yeah. But the one I've never heard of, Crappy Mother's Day. I want to know the story behind that.
I think Bill should start on that one, being that it's his brainchild and he wrote it.
Did you write that about your mother?
A lot of it is about my mother and her sisters, her seven sisters, who just fought all the time. But the arguments were hilarious. So I thought, well, I could capitalize on this maybe, you know. So really, I didn't write it. I just copied everything down I heard from them, you know, and just put the
Good
thing together.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. And called it Crappy Mother's Day because there were a few of those. And I was always amazed that nobody else used that title. It just seems to work, at least for this movie.
Well, it's so...
Oh, is that good or bad?
It's so disrespectful and dysfunctional that people are afraid to bring their dirty linen out and, you know, air their skeletons.
That's true. That's true. A lot of people. Well, I guess I'm not.
Unlike you, who have no scruples, right?
Well, I guess not. I'm guilty.
Yet. I have not met a single Bill Rutowski scruple at this point. If there are any out there, I would be shocked.
Yeah, I bet he's a very scrupulous man. He knows where to make the money. That's what matters.
Yeah. Well, my mother's no longer with us. I don't think I would do this if my mother was still alive, but she's turning in her grave now, I think, a little bit. But anyway.
Trust me, there are so many books that are still waiting to be published in my computer because my mother was alive. There are so many things I thought, I can't let my mother read that.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
So I get that. How about all of your mother's sisters? Are they still with you?
Two of them are still with us.
Have they seen the movie?
No, I don't think I will show them the movie. I don't think so.
I only have three sisters, but I can so relate to that kind of argument all the time. Somebody's always arguing.
Yeah, that's true.
Interestingly enough, my older brother said, what is this all about? The boys get together. Now, the boys are, 50 up to 70, but they've always been boys.
Right.
He said, the boys get together and we don't fight. Why do you girls do it? And I'm like, don't ask me. I'm not the one arguing. I'm just watching. I'm taking notes.
That's what they do. And what was always amusing to me is my mother would be arguing with two of her sisters, talking about the other sisters, and then she'd fight with those two sisters, and she'd switch over and make friends with the other sisters and start talking about the sisters that she was with a week ago, and it kept bouncing back and forth like that.
Wow.
Love the drama.
Now,
this is a comedy, right?
Yeah, well, it's a comedy.
You have to make that clear after the last conversation. Yeah, we did.
So how has it been received? Has it aired yet?
Yes. Go ahead,
Dan. It opened right before Mother's Day on May 4th, which we was timed, hopefully, to capitalize on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And, so it's been getting reviews, and it's great to be out there. It was kind of a marathon shoot when we did it, and it's just great after, when you work on a project and you really pour all this energy into it, that it's actually out and people can watch it. And it's just that good feeling of, hey, we made that.
Oh, I get that. Every 3 months I go through that when we release one issue of the magazine. We work on it for 3 months, and then all of a sudden it's like, I can breathe again. I'm not on that line anymore.
Yeah, maybe out there.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then 24 hours later, I start on the next one.
That's
right. Pardon me?
It's available. I think I'm just going to say it's available now on all the major platforms like Amazon and Vudu and iTunes and so on. So it's out there on, I guess, about 12 different streaming networks.
Excellent.
Yeah. So we're very happy with the way it's working so far.
Well, with a name like Crappy, you know, it was a 50-50 shot. You'd either be happy or crappy about it, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of wish I named it Happy Crappy Mother's Day. Maybe that would have been better. I don't know. That might be too confusing.
Well, they might have thought you were talking about
definitely
fish.
Definitely check it out. Definitely.
I think we should continue with this theme. We could do, all the major holidays. We could have a crappy St. Patrick's Day, crappy 4th of July, and so on. Crappy Easter. I think
we got National Lampoon
there.
Did it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, holidays sell, you know?
Well, yeah, because people love to know that they're not the only dysfunctional family on the block.
And when we
see other people going through something either similar or worse than what we've done, that's why shows like Jerry Springer did so well.
You're right about that, yeah.
People love to see that they're not the only ones miserable in life.
That's right. Because then people feel better. They go, well, gee, at least I'm not like that, you know?
Yeah.
They feel
better.
Well,
you could
be
like Gene and be happy all the time. Gene has a motto. Now, he says, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. So I challenged him one day. I said, you've always told me that. I said, I'm going to challenge you. Tell me how I can make cleaning my toilets fun.
Oh, boy. Get somebody else to do it.
Nope, that wasn't what he came up with. I know Gene hates pop quizzes, but you want to tell him what you told me?
Oh, I probably forgot. I don't know. I mean, my feeling is that it doesn't matter. If it's something I don't want to do, if I don't want to do it, I won't do it. If I got to do it, I'm not going to be pissy about it because, I got to do it anyway. Might as well figure out something,
Yeah, just do it and get it done.
Yeah.
Well, he was a park ranger, and he used to use like fire hose to clean the toilets. Just go in there and hose down everything. So.
That's easy.
So what he told me, he said, well, the next time you're cleaning your toilet, be grateful you don't have to use a pressure hose on it.
I said,
well, that doesn't make it fun, but it makes it a little less tedious.
That's right. Well, you know, you remind me of a friend of mine, because you said Gene is always happy, and I had a friend, and no matter when you asked him what time of day, what year, say, how you doing, he would always say, couldn't be better. And after a while, it started bothering me, because really, that's it? You've reached it? You can't get any better? I think we can always get better, you know?
Well, you know, if you think about it, go backwards in time with him to when he first said that to you, he must have had a pretty miserable life for every day to be better than the day before.
Right. Well, he couldn't be better, though. He reached it. He reached the plateau. That was it. Couldn't be better. I think I would be very depressed if that was it.
Kind of like sending the clowns, right? Is that all there is?
Yeah.
Is that all there is? Yeah.
Send in the Rakuskis.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, with a family like your mother's, I think that would be like sending in the clowns.
Yes, very much so, yeah.
Sending in the angry clown. Were they always angry, or were they just constantly bickering?
No, there were a lot of laughs, believe me, but it wasn't a constant thing, but it was quite a bit. And she used to get up. My mother was Italian, so she'd get on the phone. I knew she was really angry when she started speaking in Italian, because she didn't want me to know what she was saying. It was probably a lot of cursing. So I knew things. That's when I would usually leave the house, when that happened.
Yeah, I know two of my sisters would try to get me and the other sister in the middle to take sides.
Oh, yeah.
So that's interesting that your mother would do that, switch from one to the other. You got to do you got to do to survive. You know, it's all about survival.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So
well, you know, and probably,
you come from a big Italian family.
Italian and Polish.
Up, that's the whole
father.
Dynamic they had.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Polish father and Italian mother. So it was a lot of good food. A lot of good food.
Hmm.
I had a German father and an Irish mother, so I'm not so sure we had the good. No, my mother was a great cook.
Well, German food is good.
Some of it can be.
Yeah. Wiener Schnitzel. Bratwurst.
Gotta love your Wiener Schnitzel. How can you not love your Wiener Schnitzel?
What is Wiener Schnitzel?
I think it's
come on. How German are you if you don't know what Wiener Schnitzel is?
I'm not that German.
I think it's
veal.
A pastry.
I think it's pounded fried veal.
Yeah, it's fried veal.
Breaded, I think. Boy, did we get
I remember, well, see, my parents had eight children, so we ate a lot of things with peanut butter in it and a lot of things with a lot of noodly and ricey foods, anything to stretch out that food.
Oh,
cornbread.
Sure.
Cornbread. We had a lot of cornbread growing up.
Nice.
Yeah. So your mother's family was your inspiration for Crappy Mother's Day.
Correct.
Where else do you get, I know that your bio is very skimpy. It didn't tell me a whole lot. It just says you're known for Fred and Vinny Arrested Development, The Last Request, Asleep at the Wheel, making blah, 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 blah. It tells me what you're known for. What did you do with those? Did you conceive all of them or just Crappy Mother's Day? Between the two of you.
I'm sorry, is that a Bill or a Dan question?
I don't know. I'm not sure who I'm talking to. I'm having a crisis over here, guys. You just confronted me with Wiener Schnitzel.
We're off the Wiener
dancing
Schnitzel.
With visions of Wiener Schnitzel dancing in your head.
Well, who was it who was it that did the documentary about Felix the Cat?
That was Dan. That's me.
Because I remember when I heard you say that, the song went in my head, and now it's been there ever since. The wonderful, wonderful cat.
That's right.
But
he laughed.
That was the funny thing, because we would get. Everybody we interviewed, we'd ask them about the words, and they would get that far, and then they couldn't remember the second half of the line.
Well, I know the second line is how he gets out quick with his bag of tricks.
That's right. He laughs so much. Your sides will ache. Your heart will go pitter pat. Watching Felix, the wonderful cat.
Nice.
Bill wins.
I don't remember a lot about Felix. He was a bit of a rascal, wasn't he?
Well, not to digress, but Felix has actually been around. Last year was the 100-year anniversary of Felix's. Felix was actually the very first animated cartoon that was designed to be shown at theaters. He was back in 1919 was the very first Felix the Cat cartoon. And then there was obviously all black and white silence. And then he disappeared for a while, went into the comic books. And then he got resurrected in 1959 with the version a lot of people think of with the Felix song. And then the ones that were done in color for Translux, and that was for one season, and those were played forever. So there's two different versions of Felix, and then he became more of a iconic image. You know, a lot of people know the image of Felix the Cat, but they don't know why they know the Felix the Cat image. So he's been around for a while. But it's fun. You know, for me, I work on a lot of different projects, and Bill approached me. Bill had written the script. And he'd call me and say, "Hey, I got the script. Would you be interested in directing it?" And I said, "Sure." And he sent it over to me. And, you know, it was a fun little script, and we were talking about it. And then he was like, "Well, I think we could shoot it in a week." And I was like, after I picked my jaw from the floor, I said, "Well, how about 8 days?" So he gave me an extra day. So we shot the whole film in 8 days. We did it all in, it's kind of like that, "Hey, I got the barn, let's put on a show." We shot it all in Montclair, New Jersey, called in a lot of favors from friends and actors, but did it above board. It was all SAG actors, all great performances, and we also did it with the Directors Guild and did it with, you know, all the union stuff. And it was one of those happy moments, you know, that, you know, I think if we tried to do it again, it wouldn't happen. All the planets aligned, because to shoot a full-length feature in 8 days is very difficult, and everything had to work perfect. The acting had to be great. The locations had to be great. The weather had to be great. We did our homework, and somehow we got to the eighth day, and we had it all in the can.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Yes, well, I will add to it, because I think you were asking before, you know, how did – well, maybe you didn't, but I'll tell you. It started out as a 15-minute play, a short play that I produced and did in New York, I believe, at the Hudson Theater. And, you know, I liked it so much, and it was well-received, and so I started thinking about all these stories about my mother and all that. I thought, gee, I could just extend this. And at first I said, I'll just extend it as a play, a full-length play, and then I thought, well, I'm just going to do it as a film. I think it would be much better. So that's how that started. So the first part of the film is really the one-act play where they're at a cafe and they're just talking, you know, when she meets her mother after 4 years and all that. And I just kind of extended it, and that was it.
It sounds like a lot of fun. I mean,
yep.
Now,
it was a ton of fun.
I mean, to do something that fast people talk about 24-hour and 48-hour films, and that's all well and good, but a full feature film in 8 days is remarkable. Talk about the planets lining up.
Yeah, you know,
well, not
one
this
of the things
week,
that we lucked out with well, one thing that worked well for it, the actors we got for this were phenomenal. We walked into this, we had a little meeting before we did a script read, and we talked, and one of the things we all stressed was that, knowing that we were under such a time limit, that everybody had to bring their A game. They had to know their lines. You know, if we had to do, you know, 40 takes of every shot, we would have never gotten through it. And the actor in the whole first scene is 15 pages long. We did that all in one day, and there's four different actors, and it really came across seamlessly. And, you know, again, if we didn't have the Jackie Debbitt in and Addison Anderson and Kristen Kreck and
Lou Mastillo,
of course, that lovable Bill Rakusky as Dimpy, and Vivian Landau and Lou Mastillo. We didn't have these actors who really brought their A game and really gave great performances. I mean, if you don't have that, if you have, you know, if you have, you know, kind of, you know, people are just getting into acting, trying to do it and can't pull it off, we wouldn't have been able to do this. And the actors that we have for this was just phenomenal. And, you know, we did our homework. You know, it was had to be very planned out because, again, to get it in that many days, luckily the way it's written, there's a lot of sequences take place in one location. So once we got there, it was kind of the hub where we can just basically, you know, park all our gear there and live there for a couple of days. And that definitely helped. And,
yeah,
you know, just doing our homework and making sure that we, you know, everybody, you know, we do a couple of good takes. And once we knew we had it, then we could move on and do the next one. I'm just keeping that rhythm. The other thing is, one thing I'm most proud of is that we generally, like on a film shoot, when I used to work on Law and Order back in the day, some days we'd go like 18 hours, 20 hours, and you just, yeah, after a while, you can do it for a while, but then it catches up to you. We kept it to, except for the last day, because we ran a little over, we kept every day to a 10-hour day, and then really kind of, which, you know, again, if you have everybody's working low budget and trying to do a quick pace, you really have to take care of people, and you don't want to abuse them, you know, do it in 8 days, but, you know, do 14, 20-hour days or something like that where, you know, by the end of it, everybody's like in a coma. So it was nice. Everybody, you know, we got home at a certain hour and everybody, you know, had time to rest for the next day. And it was a great, again, great. In addition to the cast, it was just a great crew that everybody was there because they wanted the film to turn out good. So everybody was there chipping in, making it happen. The ADs on it were phenomenal. Mark Garland and Dan, Levy, the two of them were just watching my back left and right so I could concentrate on all the other stuff I had to do while we were shooting.
And that's we were singing a Beatles song a lot, 8 days a week. We sang that a lot.
I bet.
Yeah.
So you guys must have had phenomenal craft trucks. I mean, how do you feed all these people?
We'd have a good lunch every day. We promised, and everybody, you know, that's the other thing. Happy, a full crew is a happy crew. So we made sure every day we took a nice lunch break and we brought in really good food every day.
That's
and
awesome.
We could thank my wife Rosa for that. Rosa took care of the food every day. Rosa was, you know, the caterer, a script supervisor, and I can't remember what else she was, but she did a lot of it. She helped me a lot.
Wherever needed to be done, Rosa.
Well, that's the thing about us. You know, when you do something from the heart, you don't really care how big your staff is or your crew. You do what you got to do. And everybody jumps in and they wear so many different hats to make it happen.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's phenomenal. Guys, I need to take a real quick break here and we'll come back.
Oh, sure.
And I'll come up with something off the top of my head to ask you.
All right. That'd be great.
Let me ask you a question. Do you prefer coffee or tea? This is a question we ask on our fun and informative millennial talk show called Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed. And why do I know? Because I'm Anna. I'm one of the co-hosts. It's a great time. It's a professionally edited weekly series that's free to watch on Be Unique's YouTube channel. That's B-U-N-E-K-E. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode and leave us a comment with your topic or guest recommendations. We love hearing from you.
And I thought of a question.
I'm going with coffee instead of tea.
Yeah, you prefer
coffee.
I almost
coffee. Answered that. I thought you were asking me that.
That's one of our other volunteers, Anna. She's my
Tell
co-founder's
I'm,
daughter.
I'm 100% coffee. I'm going with coffee on that answer.
Well, you know what? Gene's a big coffee drinker, but I showed him a tea that was as good as coffee. Did I not, Mr.
Well, you have to let us know. You have to let us know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I ordered it from a company called Spirit Rising, and it's called, I forget if it's Awake or Wake Up. I think it's called Wake Up, but it's made with Bopasana, Guarana, cacao, whatever, the chocolate stuff, and something else. But it's all herbal, but it has a very coffee robustness to it.
Well, that sounds good to me.
I felt
good.
It was like a second wind
Full Body Second Wind, all in one cup.
Hmm. Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm hearing the music for it and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard electric guitar going. Yeah,
what
happened?
Yeah, I wrote a song
yeah,
called
said,
"Too Much Coffee." That
too much coffee. There's no such thing.
Well, you have to hear the way that it's actually sarcastic, and it's one of these pep songs where, as I'm drinking more coffee, the song gets faster and faster and keeps modulating up. So by the end of it, it's like into a total craziness.
Total frenzy, coffee frenzy. Yeah, I like my tea. And I forget what I'm drinking right now. Palo Santo tea, I think. Palo Azul tea. It's weird. But my question was, you said that in 8 days, Felix was in the can. Does that include
No,
editing?
Crappy Mother's Day
was in the can?
Yeah. We did the whole feature in 8 days.
Okay, I'm hearing all the stuff you were telling me. I'm thinking, I have it in my head. But never mind. It's okay. Still phenomenal. But you had done all your editing and everything?
No, the shooting.
Just physically
getting the film in the can, getting to the point where we had every scene shot
I'm still impressed, gentlemen. Still impressed. Oh,
and then weeks of editing after that.
Okay. I don't think you're quite Superman. You're still human. And I'll tell you, Batman. Yeah, Batman could do that. That makes sense. I
He's kind of in the movie, too.
Batman's in your crappy Mother's Day movie?
Well, there's Batman, not Batman.
Batman.
He couldn't get the Batman costume, so he got that man.
I like it. So was it black, too, or was it like chartreuse?
Oh, it's all black, just like Batman, but it's that man. Just like that girl. You remember that girl? Well, this is that man.
Oh, yes, I do.
Who was that girl?
Marlo Thomas.
Marlo Thomas, correct.
You interviewed Marlo Thomas.
Danny Thomas's daughter. Phil Donahue's wife.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we did.
And
I
know most of this because not long ago I read expose by her domo, her butler's butler. I think they call them domos. Mm. I forget. But he was the man who ran her household for many years. And he told I don't know if he told all, but he told a lot. And things that would surprise you. Or not. Jennifer is the co-founder of Be Unique, and she's the one who's behind all of our documentaries. She introduced me to the world of film. Well, and I shouldn't say that. I'd actually been in a movie once before. I forget which one it was, but I was called the Purple Zombie. It was either the Dead End or the Dead Walk. I forget. But one led to another, and then Jennifer found out just casually that I had done that. She asked me if I could cry on cue. I said, I can do better than that. And I burst into tears right there. So she put me in a film she had written about her grandmother. Talk about dysfunction. And it was interesting because I'd never acted real acting other than trying to get attention as the middle child in my family. And from there, I started doing other things. And it was interesting because when you were talking about your professional actors, I totally got that because I was not, and there were many times I'm like, what's my line? Oh, was I supposed to memorize this? Oh, that's what I do. Oh, I'm so sorry.
our film would have been 27 days then.
We filmed this little short thing in a weekend, but thanks to Jennifer's excellent editing, it turned out really well. And like, I think we spent 4 days filming Forgotten Enchantress, one for the historical home I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
And those, I don't think we were more than 10 or 11 hours a day. And we had a lot of good home cooking. Our craft trucks tend to be on the potluck category, and that works out well.
Well, I know I got in the movie business with Be Unique with the Forgotten Enchantress. They basically put a coat on me and tied a little tie around my neck and pushed me over there and said, now here, you be this guy and walk over there. So I've actually been in film now. And then the next one they did, they gave me the microphone and said, here, hold this. So now I'm a boom guy. So like you said before, you get multiple talents and you get in demand and might go into the movie business, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So, Bill and Dan, how long have you guys known each other?
Well, that's a tricky question. Go ahead, Dan. Over 20 years at this point. Back in that we worked
tricky.
On a film together that
well,
Bill
it's tricky
that I shot. He was an actor in a film called The Last Request that we did quite a while ago with Danny Aiello and Barbara Feldon and Joe Piscopo, Antonio Lobianco, a bunch of people, and Gilbert Gottfried, and Bill.
It's just a name dropper.
And I was the director of photography on that particular shoot. So he and I met and through his brother Mike, who's also an actor, who's also in the film as one of the crazy uncles. We all met back on that film, and we've stayed in touch over the years.
Okay. And you worked together on Crappy Mother's Day, of course. What else have you worked together on?
That was our first one, believe it or not.
Yeah, and then I moved to Los Angeles, and Dan was still back here, so we kind of lost touch a little bit, and then we sort of, rekindled our friendship when I came back here to New Jersey.
Okay. Big difference from New Jersey to Los Angeles in temperature.
Well, yeah, certainly in temperature. That's about the only thing good, I think, out there was the temperature. I got fed up out there quickly. So I'm happy to be in New Jersey.
Well, we're happy to have you on the East Coast.
Yes, I'm an East Coast guy. I feel more comfortable here.
You guys have any ideas, plans of doing anything collaborative going forward? Or, I mean, do you just hang out?
We are. You want to tell them, Dan, or you want me to tell them? We're working on something
this film of ours just got released only a couple weeks ago, so we're still kind of basking in the release of that and seeing how it's doing. In the meantime, while that's happening, we collaborated on writing a script about, it's a comedy, another comedy, that's about a group of musicians who had their heyday back in the 70s and are now getting a resurgence. So it's kind of a slice of life comedy, similar vibe. And
I would call it a rock and roll musical.
A rock and roll musical.
Yes,
wow.
It's about these guys in their 60s, and they've played for 40 years, but they never really quite made it, and they're still hanging out and doing it.
Wow.
For the love of the music.
That's awesome. That's awesome, actually.
Yep.
Now,
and there is a band out here in New Jersey that called the Nerds, and they've been playing since the 1979, and they're still out there dressed like nerds, still playing the music.
Oh, wow. So where are you at? Where are you on this project? Are you past the conceptual stage?
Yeah, well, we just got the first draft done, and now we're refining that, and then we're going to start the second process of actually getting it done.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah. Wow. Very cool.
Not planning another 8-day turnaround, are you?
I'm going for at least 9 or 10 with Bill on this one. What hair I have left, I don't know if I could do another 8-day shoot.
Oh, man.
Oh,
not
speaking
to mention
of
poor Rosie, she's going to go nuts.
He's
a saint.
I was lucky in this movie to get my two brothers to be in it, who are very, very funny too. And a lot of this, again, the stories come from my my mother, but there's also stories that from my brothers, that things that happen. And
this one time my brother John could not get a line right. I was going crazy just because he wouldn't get it right. I was literally banging my head against the wall because he couldn't get it right, and I was disturbing the set, the sound, because I was banging the head on the wall. And the costume lady just looked at me like I was insane. She said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "He can't get that." And Dan had to calm me down. That was the only real big bump in the movie.
It was funny because we were shooting in the room. All of a sudden, we start hearing this thud, thud, thud. And we have to stop.
Oh, no.
And gives me that look like, what's going on? And then we realized that the line had been said wrong, and Bill was just in the other room banging against it. And I'm like, Bill, we can hear that in the other room.
And you
so
know
you're
how
not
you're
a go-with-the-flow kind of guy.
What's that?
I said, you're not a go-with-the-flow kind of guy. You want your lines exactly right every time, huh? No ad.
Unless they can make them better, yeah.
Ah,
I would like
yeah.
them.
But so he
sometimes
wasn't just,
they can make them better.
He wasn't just flubbing the line. He was really messing it up.
It was also a bit of a brother dynamic going on there. You know, like how someone who's not in your family can say something and it doesn't bother you, but then someone in
yep.
your family says it, it's like fingers on a blackboard. That was kind of
right.
Because it was his brother, and he knew he could react like that
right.
more than everyone.
Well, he's right.
That
you know,
how
you could say
family.
Things to your brother and sister, you know, but you would never say it to a friend or a stranger. But you could say it to them. You feel, you know, and you know. So that's what it was. I was losing my mind. God, I can get myself wound up just thinking about it.
No,
that's hurtful. That's painful.
I'm going to call him after we're done. John, you couldn't get that line right? What was wrong?
Well, he obviously got it right eventually, right?
Sort of.
He did. He did. You know, he was dwelling, he was dwelling on that. He got 97% of it right, and I was trying to explain to him, you don't want to wreck the take for that 2 or 3% that was wrong because everything else was good. So then we would just do a pickup of the part that was driving Bill crazy.
Well, I calmed down. The Valium helped a lot, so that was good.
Yeah, I can remember. I mean, I don't have your experience by any stretch of the imagination, but the little bit of filming that I've done, there was my counterpart just couldn't get her lines right, and she was taking forever to get them out. So finally, Jennifer said, let's just film it and we'll bring Mary back to do a voiceover later. They filmed it from the back so that it looked like I was talking. You know, you couldn't tell who was talking.
Right.
I've learned much about angles and whatnot.
Well, going back to earlier with what Dan was saying about, you know, filming this, everybody was down. And we kind of, especially the opening scene, it was kind of rehearsed like we were doing a play, because obviously if you're doing a play, you don't get a second chance. You've got to get those lines out, and that's it. So
right. Everybody
was pretty much right on, and that helped a lot, or we never would have been able to get it done for 8 days. Yeah.
That I am still in awe. I can't wait to go watch it, because, in fact, it's probably on my somewhere. You said Amazon, right?
Yeah, Amazon or Vudu or iTunes and Google Play, YouTube.
Got all of that.
It's everywhere.
Got all of that. I'm going to go watch it tonight because I need something mindless to do.
We're selling bootleg DVDs out of the back of our Subaru, too, and on the roadside of New Jersey.
I'm a little
far from New Jersey, but I'll have to call all my Jersey friends and send them over on the corner of whatever and wherever.
You're in South Carolina. I'm in North Carolina. I hooked up with
a
guy.
I'm not in South Carolina, Bubba. I'm in Florida.
Oh, you're in Florida. That's right. You said you're from
Florida.
South Carolina.
I was born and raised in South Carolina, but I live in Florida.
That's right. Okay. I remember now. Oh, geez, my memory. Geez. Anyway, I lost my train of thought. It wasn't important.
Sniff
Let's
some rosemary.
On.
You know, rosemary will help you retain your memory, snap back those short-term memories.
Okay.
William Shakespeare used to tout the properties of sniffing rosemary for memory retention.
Oh,
No kidding. That's an interesting.
I'm going to buy Bill a bushel of rosemary. Bushel of rosemary is coming for Bill.
Yeah, you guys, get him a pickup truckload just put in his front yard.
I have a lot of it.
I don't know if that. He's got a lot of something. I'm not sure if it's rosemary or not. He's got a lot of something.
Well, Gene likes to say that he and I always have a lot to talk about because we're full of it.
You got to get it out, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you got to get it out one way or the other because the words are just going to break your brain if you don't spend them somewhere.
Right, right?
And you guys understand that because you're creatives. You have
well,
to
we
get
try
these.
To be.
There is no try. There is either do or do not.
That's right.
So
you got a point.
Quote Yoda, too. I'm a woman
of many
talents.
Can you do Yoda with a southern accent?
What, quote Yoda?
Can you do a Yoda imitation using a southern accent?
There is no try. There is do or do not, honey child.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I never heard Yoda so hot before.
Now I have something to tell my husband after I get off the show. I'll go all Yoda on him.
Yeah.
Yoda from the South.
Well,
yeah, one day Gene and I were doing a show, and I did almost the entire show in that accent. And it's hard to not laugh at myself. So to keep a straight tone for 15 minutes is difficult.
It was kind of hard for me, too. So
you were laughing the whole time.
I know.
And that made it harder for me to keep a straight tone.
Yeah.
I got rid of my South Carolina accent before I left South Carolina. And, in fact, I was applying for a job, and a guy asked me where I was from originally. And I said, oh, from Walterboro. He said, no, before you came here. When I was a little girl, I lived in Yemassee, which was an even smaller town. He said, no, you had to have come from somewhere like Chicago, right? I'm like, why would you say that? He said, well, you don't have a South Carolina accent. You don't have South Carolina mentality. I said, well, no, I'm not from Chicago. I thought that was funny.
That's kind of insulting in a way. What kind of?
I don't think it's insulting unless you're from South Carolina.
Well,
and I told South Carolina left and right. My kids, both of my kids couldn't wait to get out either. One of them was, he graduated from high school 10 days and joined the Navy and never looked back.
Wow.
It's a crappy little town. That's the next story.
Crappy
you know
little
what?
Town,
I'll,
Dave. There you go.
I'll help you.
Get
it. We can collaborate on it. We can film it on location in Walterboro and call it Crappy Little Town.
There you go. See, that word can be used a lot. You know, we're going to make a sequel, too, Crappy Father's Day. We could do that.
And, you know, now that Hallmark is you know, the king of holidays, you've got Brother's Day, Sister's Day, Cousin's Day.
That's
they
right.
Grandmother's
Secretary's
Day.
The Grandmother's Day.
Stepmother's Day, Stepfather's Day. Every possible holiday.
You know, we're thinking a TV series version of this where they all have to move
that's
together.
Right.
And it just the storylines just never end.
Yeah,
Bill
we got
into his bag of tricks of who he's, what other stories he's got he can take from.
I got a ton of stuff. Oh, yeah. How about my baby's Mother's Day?
baby Mama Day.
Baby Mama Day. Okay, that's better.
You you can't say it correctly to be properly done. My baby Mama Day.
I've heard that a lot now from different people. Oh, that's my baby's mama. You know, what is your girlfriend? Well, it's my baby's mama. So you're never sure what's the situation. Yeah. Oh, boy. Strange days indeed.
I was at a Thanksgiving celebration with my husband, Curtis, and his son was with us, and his son's mother was there. So there was one of those nosy old aunties around, and she goes, can you believe Curtis brought his wife and his ex-wife to the same dinner. And I looked at her and I said, Carol, she was never his wife. What?
Wow.
I said, she's just his baby mama.
Oh,
I thought the woman, I think she hid in the closet for about 15, 20 minutes to compose herself.
I think right, you're lucky she didn't pass out. I think your story, you just give us some of these details. I think we should do like a unauthorized bio of you.
Well, Gene's already got the start. I think he's got 101 things about Mary.
111 things.
Okay, well, Gene, you and I will collaborate. You give us some of that dirt, and we'll turn it into a script.
Let's talk. Seriously. I would love to do something like that.
It's good stuff.
And it doesn't have to be unauthorized. We can authorize it. I had a gun pointed at my head.
The unauthorized version.
Well, we can call it the unauthorized, but we'll know the difference.
I'm Mary Brotherton.
Hey, you know.
Everything you
want to know about this woman, you don't have a clue who she is, but you want to know it. Such as the fact that I was held at gunpoint on my honeymoon, but not by my husband.
Or was it that guy or some sort of role play thing?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't the other guy, and we were not role playing. Jeez, get your head out of the gutter. Well, actually, just go to the gutter. That's more fun. No, we were stopped by. We went on a cruise to Mexico, and we got off on one of the excursions, and everybody decided that they wanted to do a different excursion. So they talked the guy into changing the plans. So instead of going to a little inland lake and having a nice typical picnic, they went to the beach and did tequila shots. Well, Curtis and I live on a beach, basically. We actually live on an island in Florida called Merritt Island. Mm-hmm. And we decided we didn't want to go hang out on the beach. Yeah, sure, it's a Mexican beach, but we didn't need the beach. Like these were, it was a Hollywood guy. We were on a cruise with one of those group tours, group cruises with a fan cruise type thing. And that was the first mistake. But we decided, we asked our tour guide, can we get to the ship from here? He said, sure, just follow the coastline, no problem. Well, there were a lot of problems. Scorpions and snakes and spiders and coral that cut your feet. A lot of, very memorable. But then we came to a stopping point, and Curtis said, oh, look, there's a little wall here. We'll just hop over this wall, and then we can get on the sidewalk. Well, I don't do hopping. I don't run. I don't hop. I pretty much am a sedentary person. I sit at my computer, and I talk to people, or I write about them. Anyway, he jumps on the wall. He says, oh, I don't think you should do this because there's a farther fall on the other side. And I said, okay, fine. So he said, we're going to have to walk out around this wall. And the wall was one of those seawalls. It goes way out into the Gulf of Mexico. So we had to walk 20, 30 feet into the Gulf to get around this wall to get to where we needed to go. And as I'm coming up the hill, Curtis said, is calling my name, and I'm looking at my feet trying to not step on coral, and I'm huffing and puffing, so I'm out of shape. And so he says, Mary, come here. I said, I'm on my way. No, I need you to come here now. I said, I'll get there as fast as I can, but I'm not running up a hill. He said, Mary, come here. So I looked up, and there's a man in uniform holding a gun on my husband, and he only spoke about three words of English. And I think I speak seven words of Spanish. So it was easy enough to figure out that we were trespassing. And I apologized and told him we would never come back. But it makes a good story, especially if you got to pump it up and make it, you know, dramatize it a little bit more than I do.
Sure. Yeah. I think maybe you should be holding drugs. That would make it more exciting.
I just don't plan my life. I just live it, you know.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway,
I just was sitting here thinking about that idea you guys have about your next movie with the old guys, the old rock and roll guys.
Oh yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, so I always thought that this century, the next big musical. You remember the 70s had, or 60s and 70s had Hair? Well,
right. That's right.
The one, these guys could all be called Stubble.
Stubble.
Or No Hair. Or No Hair.
The
or
Brain.
Brain
Guys. Oh,
that's right, right.
That'll be a fun movie.
It will be
Yeah, we've been having fun writing it, we have we have some interest in it, and playing it by ear, as they say. And meantime, we've got a bunch of other projects that we're doing together and not together, and just doing what we do, as they say.
Oh boy, here comes the Joyzy.
Yeah,
there you go.
Problem with that. Yeah, so we're very happy with the way this came out. I hope you enjoy it when you watch it later, and we're just sitting back, wait, see what happens, and we're Uncorked Entertainment put it up there, the distributors, and they were very nice to us, and they were able to get it, as I said, on all these streaming networks. So, we're hoping maybe down the line to get it on Showtime or something like that, or even Netflix or Hulu, or get it out anywhere,
Yeah,
I'm definitely gonna go check it out tonight, and I have Dan's email. So after I watch it, I'll email you my thoughts. But I'm not gonna promise you that I will email you my thoughts tonight immediately after watching it.
No, but take your time. I'm not going nowhere. Well, the other fun thing when we're shooting it is that, again, going back to it's kind of like the old days of, hey, we got the barn, let's put on the show, is that everybody had a particular role on it, in terms of crew and things like that. But the fun thing was that we're all there to make it happen. And we all got, there's a scene in where they make this thing called a Forever Stew. And my wife ended up making it, and it was the most disgusting looking thing you'll ever see. And my wife's a great cook, but she was like, we said, can you make something that no one would want to eat? And she's like, I'll try. But she succeeded. And then the problem, that was like third or fourth day of shooting. So after we did the scene, I brought it home and I put it in my backyard because it was like a big full pot of stew. And I didn't have the time. This was like, go, go, go. So I just left it that there and I forgot about it. And normally we have like raccoons and other wildlife that will, if we leave any sort of food in the backyard, will come and eventually you'll find the core of the pumpkin or the this or that. We finished shooting and all of a sudden I said, oh, I forgot. I left the stew in the backyard. And I went out and none of the animals would eat it. And I opened the top of the lid.
I want your wife's recipe.
It was like a creature in there. It was a creature in there that.
No.
It looked like some sort of alien
science experiment
monster. And I slammed the lid shut and let it sit there for another week. I was too afraid to deal with it.
We have a raccoon infestation where we live. I want that recipe.
Tell you the raccoon wouldn't even go near it. The raccoons.
I don't think it can be reproduced.
I will use it as raccoon repellent.
think
my backyard is their bathroom.
Well, this would definitely this deterred any creature from doing anything in our backyard.
Wow!
But and then it got very vile. But it looked lovely.
That sounds like, I don't know, the Forever Stew, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a real true story, too. When you see the movie, you'll see. But that when I was in, I was in New York, I was living with two other guys, and we used to make a stew, eat some of it, and then put it back in the refrigerator because it wasn't all finished. And then we'd take it out the next day, add more stuff, and eat that, and it was never finished, so we called it Forever Stew. We just kept adding stuff, putting it in the refrigerator, bring it back out, heat it up, add, eat, and it would last for like 2 weeks.
That's crazy.
Forever Stew came. A little crazy, yeah. It's lucky we didn't get sick, but.
Well, as long as you kept it in the refrigerator, you wouldn't get ptomaine. and probably not salmonella.
No. E. coli, maybe.
Depends on what you put in there.
I don't know, but that was the other
reason.
You
guys are a hoot.
We didn't know what people were putting in there. That was the other mystery thing. Well, you'd be eating something and not know what it was. Wait a minute. I think that was a shoelace. I just ate a shoelace. Let me see your shoes.
That was supposed to be a noodle.
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You guys are a hoot. I love talking with you.
Yes,
thank
you. You do.
As all good things, this must come to an end.
Oh, no.
If it doesn't, I mean, we could go on. Gene and I have had marathon shows before. But if we do, then I will be too tired to watch a crappy Mother's Day tonight.
Oh, we don't want that. We don't want that.
You need to watch Crappy Mother's Day.
I want to. I'm excited about it. I want to see if you guys can do it in 8 days. That's awesome.
Well, you know, the funny thing, going back to that, you know, the cool thing we got, like for me too, is that we got to do a lot of different things. Like there's some of the music in there is actually from my rockabilly band that I have in New Jersey, since I was able to get us cheap. So so some of the background music is stuff from my band. Bill had this a great friend, his George, who came up with some really clever pieces of music that fit right in, and then we kind of segued out of that into other stuff. And then there's some like the craziest scenes. My brother plays a theremin, so he came in and recorded some theremin music, for it, and so it's like a mix of kind of hodgepodge of all that. And then the whole. There's an opening scene which kind of is like a fake documentary about the history of Mother's Day. And what we did was we found old video footage of my family and Bill's
movies,
family, and we morphed it all together, and we used all our old home movies as the little opening to the film as like a little mini documentary about the history of where Mother's Day came from.
Right.
Very
cool. And you mentioned my friend George did the voiceover that made it sound like one of those old newsreels from the 1930s.
Kind of
the
Walter Winchell kind of thing.
Right. And he also sang a song like that the song M is for, you know, that old mother song. And he made it sound like it was like from the 1920s with the scratches on the record and everything. And Dan wrote, Dan did a lot of music, and he wrote a song for the movie too, which a very nice kind of tender, sad song, because I won't get into the movie, but you'll hear it. So George did a lot. Dan did a lot of the music. I mean, they did all the music, so, and they collaborated really, really well together. So that's it.
I'll be the judge of that.
And then the director has a little cameo in the film, which I won't spoil, but there is a cameo.
Okay. Very cool.
You had to stick and watch all the credits. You had to stick around.
I like watching the credits anyway.
This is one of those post-credit wacky scenes.
Okay. Very cool.
All right.
Well, you guys are a delight, and I guess I just...
Well, thanks. Well, thanks, Mary. Thanks, Gene. Appreciate it. It was great being on
the show. You're welcome. I'll have to send y'all off with a southern farewell.
There you go.
That's nice. Drink some vodka and you could do the Russian accent.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and I'll say goodbye with my southern accent. I'm from South Dakota, so I'll say have a good evening. And if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right, remember.
That's right. Hey,
where's Custard Stand? Is that in South Dakota or North Dakota? I was getting mixed up.
That was up in Montana. Even.
Then I'm way
off.
Really,
really mixed up.
There's a town and a park called Custer in South Dakota, but the last stand was up in Montana.
Up in Montana. All right. I want to check that out someday. I want to stand in that spot where he got the arrow in the head or wherever he got shot. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's up there.
Yeah. I want to go check out that part of the country.
It's beautiful. Go in the summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine
that's
so,
kind of
yeah.
Like, that's kind of a no-brainer, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was fun talking to you both.
Do svidaniya, darling.
Potsudne pomehu.
Spasiba.
Ah, you do speak Russian.
That's pretty good. That's an excellent.
Au revoir.
Arrivederci Roma.
There.
Oh, you guys are so much fun. I need to have you on more often. Shame
All
we're
right,
booked six
we're,
months
available.
Out.
We're available for
well, we're booked 6 months out right now, but we're working on that.
Okay. All right, Mary.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Your next project. See y'all. Goodbye.
Thanks, guys. Have a great
bye.
You too.
Oh, that great music's back. Woo, I love that.
Yeah.
I love it.
I dance.
Thank
I dance
you
at the beginning and the end of every show.
We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Everybody gone?
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.